Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. I want to ask you the question today and to answer it. What is important about the church? The day we live in, the importance of the local church has been lost because of TV and mass media and a lot of people that just don't want to be faithful to church. The importance of the local church. So today I want to take Scripture and I want to help you understand why would anybody start a church in the first place? What's so important? And I want to help you understand that. And by doing that, you're going to find some things that are in the house of God. Now, I know God doesn't live in this house. He lives in this house. This is the temple of God. That's why we didn't call it Cornerstone Baptist Temple. This is the temple. But it is the house of God. It's a house that we've dedicated to God and for the glory of God. And things in here to be done for God, not for amusement, not for men, not for entertainment. This is not a social club. This is the house of God. This is where we gather together as a body and meet God. And I can honestly say there's hardly ever been a service in this church that God didn't show up and do something and bless us. I can honestly say that. So I want to show you some things that are found in the house of God that make it important. And a lot of people in the day we live in, they'll say, what's so important about going to church? What's so important about church? And I grew up in the age, of course, I got some age on me. But I grew up in an age where about 10% of us didn't go to church, but 90% did. And I got saved later. But most people in my age grew up in church, and they could tell you what was important about the house of God. So I want to take some scripture today and show you why people sweat and pray and give and do all kind of things to have a house of God. That's why we're here.
Amen.
That's why we're here. We're not just here just to show off our talent or our abilities or to brag on each other. We're here because we want to do something for God on this old wicked world that we live in. So let's look at, if you will, Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and, look at that, for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. He holds it together. That's what that means. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things, in all things, He might have the preeminence. That means He's to be up at the top, to have the first place. For it pleased the Father that by Him should all fullness dwell, in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. In other words, God made people right, made the world right through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
By Him I say, whether they be things in heaven, in earth, or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies, look at that, in your mind by wicked works, which now hath He, yet now hath He reconciled. That means you were an enemy of God, now He's made you one with God. In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Now, the Apostle Paul said God sent his Son to a wicked world, to people that were enemies of God, and by the sinless life and the death in our place, that vicarious death, and that resurrection third day, we could be at one with God again. We could be reconciled. And when we received Him, we got reconciled. We became part of Him again. And now, the church represents what He did. Holy, unblameable, immovable. And it's got a foundation, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Some things found in the house of God. I believe the first thing would be the fear of God. I believe when you go to church, there ought to be a reverential fear of a holy God. Now, I joke and I go on, you know, we talk about Himalaya and all that stuff. But when it comes to God, we don't joke about God. We don't joke about God's Word or God's Son or God's Spirit. There ought to be a holy fear of a holy God. In Genesis 28, verse 17, if you want to turn there, but Abraham was worshiping God. He'd made a sacrifice. And God came down and met him. God, the presence of a holy God, and the power of God came on that place. And Abraham felt the power of God. And verse 17 says, he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? There's none other. This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven." Now you can call it whatever you want to, but there ought to be some fear in the house of God, because when we come here and we lift up the name of Jesus and we preach His holy word and His Holy Spirit shows up, we are at the gate of heaven. We're at the gate of heaven. When the gospel has been clearly presented in this place and the power of God with that gospel convicts a sinner of their sins, they see that they are at the gate of heaven and they have the opportunity to get in. The day you got saved, you realize that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life. He said, "I'm the gate." He said, "I'm the door." And He said, "I'm the way." And that day that you got convicted by the Holy Spirit, it was probably at church. Now, some people get saved outside of church. That's a wonderful thing. But the house of God ought to be a place, of all places, that happens, that a sinner realizes that they are now face to face with a holy God, and they're in a holy place, and they're looking at a holy heaven, and they've got to make a decision whether or not they're going to be saved that day. There would be a fear in here. There would be a fear in here. Now, the church I got saved in was not a fundamentalist church like this is. They didn't believe everything like I do now, but they preached the gospel, and God blessed it, and the power of God showed up, and He convicted me. He convicted me. Went about five times, I don't know, maybe five times in 5 years, but every time I would go, I'd feel like when I stepped in those doors, and not everybody in that place felt like this, but I felt like when I stepped in those doors, I was stepping in a holy place, because they were preaching out of what they called a holy Bible. And they said there was the Holy Spirit, and there was the Holy God, and there was the Holy Son. And I felt like, I didn't know all those people. If I'd known them, I might not even felt that way. Amen? But they told me growing up that church is a house of God. When I was a kid, we didn't run around in church. By the way, you ought not let your kids run around in church. You ought to have reverential fear of God. Amen? Come on, help me. Make them sit up and listen. If they don't go to children's church, if they do, they ought to sit up and listen. This is a holy place. And we ought to fear God. We ought to teach our children to fear God. He's not the old man upstairs. No, sir. That's irreverent. Don't you ever say that to me, the old man upstairs. He's not some old grandpa sitting on the throne doting over his grandchildren. No, sir. He's a holy God. And He comes down and meets us in this place that we've dedicated to Him. And it ought to be a holy place. That's why I'm careful of the music. That's why I'm careful of what we do. That's why I'm careful of the way we dress. That's why I'm careful of who preaches and who don't preach. Help me. Well, to be careful of those things. Because we've dedicated this place to God. Amen. He told Moses, he said, "Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground." Amen. What he was saying was, the dirt you're carrying on the bottom of your feet is not worthy to be mixed with this dirt right here. And will not bring the dirt of the world in here. Shake it off when you get come up here. Amen. Shake it off. Get rid of it. Don't bring that stuff in here. Amen. And so we'll have a fear of God at church. I like the joke and I like the kid and I'm jovial and all that stuff. But when it gets down to God and the house of God and the Word of God, there's nothing to joke about. People's eternal lives are hanging in the balance. We don't know what moment God might cut that cord and they go off into eternity and they might go, this might be the last church they ever visit before they leave this world. We need to remember that. Fear God. I'm saved. I've been saved since 1978. And I fear God. And I get to cry and talk about it. I'm afraid of God. Now, it's a reverential fear. It's not fear of going to hell. I'm not going to hell. He saved me. He promised to take me to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. But it's a godly fear, almost like a real father and a real son. You didn't look up at your daddy, if you had the right kind of daddy and you were the right son, and say, "Hey, old man." You didn't do that. Some of your daddy would have knocked you the next week if you'd done that. Amen. You'd done it once. Amen. But he didn't hate you, he loved you, and you knew he loved you, and you had a fear of him, a reverential fear, and to honor him. Amen? You dads, listen to me. Your kids don't need a friend, they need a father. They need somebody to be an example. They need somebody to look at them every once in a while and say, "No, that ain't funny. You're not doing that. No, you're not doing it." Why not? I don't have to tell you why. I'm your daddy. I know more than you do. I'm older than you. I've been around longer than you. I know what's good for you. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way we'll look at God. And I wouldn't put nobody down, but we'll never have a Christian comedian come in here. We're not going to do that. And we'll joke and go, we'll kid around, but we're not going to get silly. When people come in here, I want them to leave saying, "I felt God today."
Amen.
I tell people, I want you to feel welcome. I'll call them or go see them, and I say, "How'd you like church?" And they say, "Well, I liked it." I said, "Did you feel welcome?" I said, "Yeah, well, we accomplished our number one job right there. We made you feel welcome." I don't want them to say, "I felt good." If they're not saved, I don't want them to say, "Boy, I went to your church today and I felt good. I had a good time." And I think, well, I just failed. I want them to get scared. I want to fear God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Number two. In John chapter 13, turn over there if you will. Look at verse 34 and 35. John chapter 2. Is anybody hungry?
Amen.
Amen. You'll stay awake if you're hungry. John 13, 34. We'll do like Paul the Apostle did. He preached till midnight, and that boy got so hungry he fell asleep and fell out the window, and he had to go raise him from the dead. And I promise you, if you fall out dead here, I'll get Billy to raise you from the dead. John chapter 13. Look at it, verse 34 and 35. I said some things that you ought to find in the house of God, this house. And what's the church all about anyway? Why y'all make such a fuss over it? And I said the fear of God. But look at John 13, verse 34. In verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even," you see this? He said, "that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another." Why, Jesus? Why? Look at verse 35. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." How? Because you quit drinking liquor? You ought to, but that's not how they're going to know. A lot of people ain't saved, don't drink liquor. Why? Because you quit smoking pot? No, you ought to, but that's not how people know you're saved. A lot of unsaved people don't smoke pot. He says this is how they'll know: if you have love one for another.
Amen.
Now, the house of God ought to be a place that that the people in that house are the friends of God. They love God. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And he said, if that's you, then you ought to love one another. That doesn't mean you put up with everything or get along with everybody and all that all the time. But it means you love one another. In another place, he said, love covers a multitude of sins. And you know, you can be offended, you can get your feelings hurt, or you can sin against others, and the love of Christ will cover a lot of things up. The love of Christ. Now, of all places, the church should be a place that keeps people friends and loving one another, and not a place to make enemies. Amen? I tell people all the time, and some of you know it, look, if you're not happy here, maybe you need to go somewhere where you'll be happy. Because miserable people produce miserable people. And I'm not asking anybody to leave. I hope you stay, but I'm telling you this. If you can't love the people here, either you're not saved or you're out of the will of God. He said, the house of God, of all the places, the house of God should be a place where people love one another. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you what, me and my little brother Donnie get in a fight. We'd fight about 2 or 3 hours. One time he got the last biscuit and I stabbed him right in the hand with a fork. And that thing stuck up. Don't laugh. We were lost going to hell. We were heathen, man. In my house, when they took the last biscuit, it was over. Done. But let me tell you something. We fought for each other too. Now, the house of God, this place right here. Sometimes you're going to have little spats. You have disagreements. You might even get your feelings hurt. But you know what? A lot of times, if you love people, you can either look over it or get through it. Fellow come to me one day and said he was mad at somebody and he was thinking about getting out of church. I said, just build a bridge and get over it. I said, you go down there at Walmart and they make you mad and you keep going. Amen? Come on, help me. Well, she took my cart. That was my cart. The wheels don't stick. Or some of y'all, she took my handicap cart. It goes faster than the rest of them. But you went back. You got over it. Amen? And church will be a place where people love one another. Would you say amen? Amen. The world knows that we're His disciples when we love one another. You know what they'll do sometimes, Brother Ron? They'll look at me or you and they'll say, I don't see how them people down there get along with that fellow. I work with him. I can't stand him. God must be in that. Amen. You ever looked at a couple and you thought, boy, if I was her, I'd left him years ago. She stays because she loves him. Amen.
Amen.
And vice versa, ladies. Amen. Sometimes they look, oh, he stayed with that gal. Well, love covers a multitude of sins. They love one another. How do you know they're a family? Because they love one another. How do you know it's a church? Because they love one another. And of all places in the world, this ought to be a place you can come to feel and experience the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Man, I've been in churches where they fight, fuss. They get mad and cuss in business meetings and stuff. Amen. Yeah, get mad, just fuss and have fist fights in the parking lot. There was one up here in Indyland. They was having a camp meeting. A guy stabbed another guy. At church. I said, my goodness, don't call me to preach up there. I'm scared of who's carrying guns in here now. Just teasing. But one of the things that drew me to the Lord Jesus Christ, I grew up in a mean family and mean people, a mean neighborhood. And when I went to church, it looked like those people loved each other. It looked like they cared about each other. There's one guy, he's in heaven now. His name was Goober. He'd sit in the choir and sleep every Sunday. And I'd sit there and think, why don't they kick that guy out of the choir? Because they loved him. They loved old Goober. Everybody knew Goober. Amen. He drove the church van. And I think I look back on it, he probably had sleep apnea or something, you know. And he'd sing. And when they get through singing, the preacher start preaching. He's just right there on the top row. We had a visiting preacher one time, and he was preaching on hell, and he said, they're all going to hell. He said, they woke up and said, amen! I thought that was nothing. people in that church didn't say amen. We had two men sit over here and say amen. You remember that? We had two men, Wayne Henson and somebody. This is your daddy probably. That would say amen. And he woke up, he never said amen. They loved him. They loved him. I love the house of God. Of all the things you'll find, here would be some love. Amen. Well, I tell you what, most of us are unlovable, but God loved us anyway.
Amen.
Amen. And then in the house of God, you know something else? You ought to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I said the fear of God ought to be there. Amen. I got me an amen pew back here. Say amen.
Amen.
And there ought to be friends in the house of God. There ought to be the love of God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, if you look at it with me. Be ye followers of me. This is Apostle Paul speaking. Even as I also am of Christ. There ought to be some followers in the house of God.
Amen.
Now, the day we live in, everybody thinks they're supposed to be boss. Everybody thinks they're boss. Everybody thinks their opinion's got to be heard. Everybody's got a better way. Everybody's got something, you know, that they think they're better at than everybody else. And most churches are free for all now. There's no order. People just do whatever's right in their own eyes, you know. And committees run them, you know. And they got a Sunday school committee, and they got a building and grounds committee. They got a cemetery committee. They even have a committee on committees. That's the truth. Every Southern Baptist church has a committee on. And they choose. And there's no requirement on that committee. You don't have to ever talk. You don't ever have to work on the grounds. You don't ever have to do anything. And they'll put you on that committee, and you get to decide who to be on the other committees. It's true. It's true. They all got together way back yonder somewhere, and some of them said, well, we need a new horse. Somebody needs to invent a new horse. And they made a zebra. probably Baptist committee's a raccoon. He looks like he's half cat and half dog.
Amen.
Probably some committee did that. But let me tell you something. There ought to be some followers of God in the local church. I mean followers of God. Did you know there's some people in churches that go to church and they're on committees and they run, they have positions and they run things, you know. And outside of church, nobody even knows they're a Christian. That's the truth. Outside of church, nobody. If you ask the people they work with, where they go to church, they say, I don't know. I doubt that. I don't know. I ain't never seen them in church with me, you know. Go to school with them. Where do they go to church? People say, they go to church. I don't know. When I got saved, I went back to work at the bleachery. And boy, the old hippie done got saved. Young hippie then done got saved. And they were so, boy, so shocked. And then one of them came up to me and had a string of Sunday school pins. This is the truth. He went to Sunday school, did not miss a year for over 30-something years, and had a string of Sunday school pins that reached the floor. And he brought them out to show me. And I was young, and I'd just gotten saved. And I said, I didn't even know you went to church. He said, I want you to go with me. I said, you never invited me before I got saved. Of all the places we're to be followers of God in this house. Everyone that came in today should have come in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, God puts people in positions that you have to follow them. Everybody can't sing every song they want to. That's why you got a choir director. Say amen.
Amen.
Everybody can't play the piano. We know that, don't we? That's why you got a piano player. Everybody can't preach, that's why you have a pastor. Everybody can't teach, that's why you have a teacher. And then everybody can't give a lot of money. Maybe some of y'all you're supposed to be giving when you think you're supposed to be a teacher. Amen. But everybody ought to be a follower of Jesus. But in order to be a follower of Jesus, you're going to have to follow somebody else first.
Come on now.
A lot of people get saved and they think, well, then I'll just do this by myself. And they won't go to church. They won't be reading the Bible a year if they start off by themselves. There ought to be good leaders that you can follow in the house of God. I know my wife and daughter are sitting down here so much smarter than me. They got so much education. They got degrees. I grew up in Lancaster. It's a miracle I can read and write, man. My best friend had driver's license on the car in the seventh grade. Yeah. I'm serious. I knew people in junior high school 18 years old, you know. It's a miracle we can even read or write. But God saved me. Then He called me out and He put me into ministry. And I didn't pick this. I never would have thought of this. Matter of fact, I argued with Him for a whole year. I didn't want to do it. I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you. I don't always want to do it now. I didn't feel good this morning. I've had this stinking cold for a week now. My wife encouraged me this morning and said, it only lasts two. I want to stay in the bed. I want to be a holy roller today. Wake up and feel so holy, I wanted to roll back over, not go to church. The old flesh didn't want to go. Hey, but listen. God puts people in your life that you can follow because they're faithful.
Come on now. Yeah.
You kids, listen to me. If you've got a Christian mom and daddy, you ought to follow them to church.
Amen.
Well, I don't like it. Nobody ever said you had to like it. Amen?
Right. Yes.
I don't like lard. I hate lard.
Come on.
I don't like flour. I hate flour. Just get your handful of flour. I don't like baking soda, whatever they use now. Just get some of that. I don't like that. I don't like heat. But you put all that stuff together and throw it in the oven, you'll get a nice cake. I mean, I like cake. And sometimes you don't like to go to church. You don't like to go to Sunday school. But down the road somewhere, it's going to come out of and it's going to look like cake. And you mom and dad need to be a good leader so they can follow you. You know, after I got saved, we never got up on Sunday and said, are we going to church today? After we learned about Sunday night, we was almost like Methodists. We didn't know they had Sunday night or Wednesday night. After I learned about Wednesday night and Sunday night, we never did have a discussion. And by the way, we drove about 15, 16 miles to church on Wednesday night. And our kids went with us. She ain't mad, she's going to get the food ready. But we would drive that far. And people say, well, I can't bring my kids to church on Wednesday night. Our kids didn't get home to 9 o'clock on Wednesday night. Besides that, most of you ain't going to put them to bed before 9 o'clock anyway. Amen? Now, listen to me. Now, she's taking half my church out. All the good ones. Okay, listen. Nobody else goes. She'll ask you to come if she wants you. Nobody else goes. She'll ask you to come, okay? She's got all the help she needs. But listen to me. We need to be leaders. But we need to be followers, too. Every church I ever went to after I was called to preach, even while I was in Bible college, I didn't become a smart aleck. Some of my pastors never went to Bible college. I didn't go in there and try to straighten them out. Here's what I'd tell them. I'd say, look here, Pastor, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to hurt you. And I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to take over your church. I'm not going to try to get people to follow me. And sometimes, even if I disagree with you, you're never going to know it. I'm not going to tell you.
Amen.
I said, now, if it's something seriously scriptural wrong, I'm not breaking up your church. I'll leave quietly. You won't know why I left. Nobody else will know why I left. This is your church. God gave it to you. I'm here to follow you.
Come on. Yeah.
And I followed them.
Right.
And I didn't always agree with them, but as long as it wasn't out of the scripture way, I followed them.
Amen.
And in the house of God, you ought to find people like that. And when the pastor says, well, we do three to thrive, y'all thought I forgot that, didn't you? I said, we do three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's what will make you a good Christian. When I say that, you ought to follow that.
Amen.
Well, my children, bring them. Most of them ain't going to be in bed before 10 o'clock anyway. On Sunday nights, my daughter, very educated, intelligent, not to mention beautiful.
loving and kind and gentle. She's so much like her father. Her and my wife, they'll teach them. You need to stop at this bulletin board right here and read some of this stuff. These are missionaries. These kids are learning about. Most of you never even heard of them. And they're teaching about missionaries and missions, and these children's coming out excited about what they're doing. You need to bring them to church on Sunday night. Your grandkids, if you can get them. Bring your neighbor kids. Follow us. Follow us. We got quiet on that. Did I hit a nerve somewhere? I did. That's good. I was aiming at one. Is that deer meat I smell or chicken? Frog legs, that's it. Tastes just like chicken. I said, there's some things found in the house of God, the fear of God, the friends of God, the followers of God. Now, 1 Peter, you can turn there if you want to. I'm going to go ahead and read it. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The food of God ought to be in God's house, and it ain't chicken. By the way, when was the last time you heard somebody talk about fasting and praying? In the house of God, you ought to find the bread of life. That's Jesus. Amen? He said, I'm the manna that came down from heaven. You ought to find the milk. He just told us the milk of the Word of God to help you grow and be strong. You ought to find the meat for strength, the meat of the Word. Paul said, I couldn't give you meat because you were children. You were immature. And I had to give you milk because you couldn't swallow meat. And later on, they started swallowing meat. You know what that means? He couldn't give them the hard things of God because they were so biblically ignorant. He had to educate them slowly and gently as a mother does a baby with milk. And then, finally, they could take the meat of the Word of God. Amen. You ought to find that here. You ought to find that. Of all places in this town, you ought to be able to get fed from God right here. Amen. Now, I can tell you this, I really believe this. I'm not being humble. I know I'm not the best speaker. I know I'm not the best orator in this town. I know that. I know I'm not the smartest man, even in this room. I'm not the smartest man in this room. I know I'm not the most educated, though I do have a Bible college education, and most pastors around here don't. I'm not bragging on it. I'm just telling you. But I'm not the smartest in town. I'm not the best speaker. I'm not even the best leader all the time. But I'll tell you this, and I'll promise you this. If you'll bring people to this house of God, I will feed them. Some of you think you came today to eat chicken and potatoes. That was just a ruse. We cooked that so you'd come here to Bible. Amen? We're going to feed you out there, but I'm going to feed you in here before you get out there. And of all the places, the house of God should not be a place where you go and you think, same old thing. Same old thing. Preacher preaches the same thing every sermon. Sunday school teacher teaches the same thing every sermon. I'm not learning nothing. I'm not growing. I'm not. Now, if you feel that way, you need to find you another church. But sometimes around here, I feel like I'm force feeding them, brother. I think I feel like I got that baby that won't take medicine. Here! Eat it! Sometimes that's the way I feel. I feel like I just got their head right there, Brother Billy, and I got their head right there, and I take this. Take, you need it. Of all places, this ought to be a place you get food from God. Amen. You ought to be able to leave out of here and say, spiritually, I'm full. Spiritually. But see, some people, they're so concerned about their physical, they're not too concerned about their physical. Amen. And you sit in and you think about lunch instead of the food that God's trying to give you. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know none of us. Come on, help me. Now, listen to me. One last thing, and we're going to go eat that Himalayan. There might be some Himalayan chicken out there. You don't ever know. I said the house of God ought to have some things in it. The fear of God, friends of God, followers of God, foods of God. But not only that, and boy, turn to Luke 6:38. You still with me? You're not mad at me, are you?
You wouldn't say it if you was. Luke 6:38. Before I read you, while you're turning to Luke 6:38, I want you to know something else. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. We shouldn't have to raise money around here. On the first day of the week, the finances of this place ought to be God's people. The day I put you on a street corner with a bucket begging money for God's house, it'll be a cold day where the booger man's going. I can tell you that right now. I pulled up on the corner over here on Slough Street. Man had a chicken bucket, KFC. I thought he was wanting to give me some chicken. I rolled down that window. He said, we's raising money to build a new church. I said, well, you're going about it the wrong way. What? I said, you're going about it the wrong way. I said, you're out here asking perverts and drunks and everything else to give you money to build God's house, and they ain't coming. I said, if the people in that church is laying aside once a week what God's given them, they're giving their part, you wouldn't be out here begging money. I said, where's your pastor? Oh, that's Dr. Reverend so-and-so. He's over there at the church sitting in his office. I said, and he put you out here on the street? Why ain't he out here begging money?
Come on now.
I said, because he's too proud. That's why. He's getting you to do it. He don't want to do it. That was free. That didn't cost you nothing. I just wanted to put that in there. That's something been under my craw for a long time. I've been wanting to say it. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says this. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now look at this. Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, he said, when you give, it's like putting that stuff in a jar and shaking around, packing it down, and after a while it gets so full the jar won't hold it anymore and it's flowing over. He said, now if you're a giver, people will give to you. Now of all places, the church ought to have giving people. Ought to have giving people. Now, I'm not against people raising money if that's what you got to do, but I really think that people in this church that want something from God need to get it from God. They don't need to beg it from the world. So I'm going to go ahead and put this on here. We're not having a singing on Saturday night to raise money. Amen.
Come on.
We're not going to have a drama on Sunday night to raise money. God's people will build God's work. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, that got quieter than the other one did. Amen. Look, the finances of God should run God's place. Now, since I learned how to tithe, I've tithed. And above, by the way, above. And that's not counting my time and my talents. That's just money. I've tithed and above. And you know, since I started tithing, I've not needed anything. God's taken care of me. I used to run out of money before I run out of week. You know, didn't have money at the end of the week. But since I started honoring God with my giving, God started giving to me. I was going to Bible college, didn't know how I was going to get money to eat breakfast. A man walked up to me with an envelope, had $50 in it. I'd never seen the man but one other time standing in line to get books, which I didn't have the money to buy. The church bought them for me to go to Bible college. And he gave me $50. I don't know who he is. I started not taking it. He said, you're going to take it. You're not robbing me of my blessing. God done blessed me, and I'm giving it to you. You know what he was saying? I give so others give to me. That's what he said. Of all places, the pastor shouldn't have to beg for money to be here. I better go on. I can tell by looking at you. My last verse, we're on the way out the door. We fix and get in line. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will, verse 1 and 2. And I do ask you to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I done gone 5 minutes over what I told you I was going to preach already. But you didn't even know it. If I hadn't told you, you wouldn't even know it.
By the way, since where in the Bible does it say we've got to quit at 12 o'clock? First, y'all thought it was in there, didn't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, the Apostle Paul, speaking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. He's talking to saved people, right? By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, in the house of God, here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I came unto you and I preached the gospel, which is the sinless life, the virgin birth, the sinless life, and dying on the cross, vicarious atonement, dying in our place, and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what I came and preached. He said, that's how you got saved. He said, that's how you stay saved. The forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. Now, in all the places in town, the forgiveness of God should be preached right here.
Amen.
I'm talking about to be saved. The forgiveness of God. Everybody that walks in that door is a candidate. Everybody that walks in that door, we should, because we fear God and we're friends of God and friends of others, and because we follow God and we follow our leaders, and because God's given us the finances to have a place, and we're going to have an even better place soon, hopefully. But because of all that, then of all people in town, we'll be willing to have anybody, whosoever will, let them come. And they can hear about the forgiveness of God.
Yes.
I know there's been people here that some of you were afraid of. There have been. I know there's been people here that maybe you probably think, man, they smell funny. I'm serious. I'm being serious. This one fellow told me the other day, he said, I can't come to your church. I said, why not? He said, people in your church don't know what I did. I said, they don't want to know what you did.
Come on.
He said, I just got out of jail. I said, I don't care. He said, but they would be afraid if I come. I said, they're not going to know and they won't ask. I said, do you realize that if we started at the front of my church and went all the way to the back asking where everybody came from, what they'd done, or if they deserved to even be in church, do you know how few people we'd have left in church? Saved by the grace of God. Kept by the grace of God.
Amen.
There's not one of us worthy of going to heaven. If God started taking account today,
that's right.
He started taking account today, not all that other stuff, but if He started taking account today on whether or not we are sinners, there's not a person in this room would make heaven, because if you hadn't sinned yet today, you're headed right toward it before we leave here. Some of us are going to be so unthankful you won't even eat that deer meat. That's a sin. Amen. And I told him, I said, you come, you sit at the back. Won't nobody say nothing to you. Now, what would a preach that? Forgiveness. There's people in this room who were saved young in life, and they backslid on God. Maybe they weren't in a good church. Maybe they didn't have a good pastor. Maybe they didn't have a Christian family to support them like you do. And they got out of the will of God. And listen, God had to go to drastic circumstances to drag them back into the family of God. And woe be unto anybody that would deny them the forgiveness of God.
Amen.
You don't know what they did. Don't care. I don't care. You don't know what I did. You know, I don't know what you did.
That's right.
And forgiveness forgiveness is not asking that. Forgiveness says, I love you. God loves you. God the Son loves you. God the Holy Ghost loves you. God's house loves you. Come in here where you can hear it, where you can be forgiven.
Amen.
That's some things you'll find in the house of God.
Amen.
In this house. And by the way, as long as I live, as long as God will let me, as long as He will, I promise you this, we're going to have the fear of God here. We're going to have the friends of God here. Well, that song say, nobody ever cared for me like Jesus.
Yeah.
We're going to have the followers of God here. We'll have some. We'll have the food of God. I'll feed you. If you'll come, I'll feed you. I promise you, you'll get the Word of God. We're going to run on the finances of God. God's going to take care of this place. We're not begging money. Maybe we might be the poorest, littlest church in town, but God will be the one that gets blamed for that. We're not begging money from people on the street corners. But most of all, we're going to have the forgiveness of God here.
Amen.
Y'all listening? And sometimes you need to remember, as a child of God and as a friend of others, you need to forgive people too. Our churches are eat up with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Wife, you'll look at your husband and think, boy, he ain't worthy of me, but I love him anyway. Some of these men will look over there and say, she's absolutely right. Amen. Some of y'all look at this church and say, boy, I ain't even worthy of sitting in here. But I thank God somebody let me come in one day. Amen.
Amen. Come on.
It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. Are we different? Yeah. We're different. We're peculiar. We're aliens. We're pilgrims. But this is your house.
Amen.
God gave it to you.
Amen.
Now what are you going to do with it? Some of y'all need to make a commitment to this church. You know, put your name on the roll. See, if you don't commit, then you figure ain't nobody going to expect nothing out of you. But God still expects it out of you. Some of y'all will be more faithful to the house that He gives you. So, preacher, I work. We all do. Preacher, I got a family. We all do. I got problems. We all do. It's your house. Be faithful to it. I'm glad I'm here.
Amen.
I'm proud to tell people, where are you pastor at Cornerstone Baptist Church? I'm proud to say that. There's not been one time I've been ashamed to say that, not one time. Oh, so-and-so go to your church. Sure do. You let them come. Amen. They let me come. You ought to try it yourself. Amen. I hope you're saved. If you're not saved, God put places like this all over this world so you can hear the gospel and be saved. If you're not saved, I beg you today. This is what this place was all about. For 11 years, we've been trying to get to you. All you got to do is walk down that aisle. There's going to be a preacher with a Bible right standing right here. And we won't embarrass you. We're not going to beat you on the back or holler at you. He's going to take you in a room. He's going to show you 4 or 5 verses. And He's going to say, believest thou this? And you're going to say, I sure do. He said, well, won't you ask Him? And you ask the Lord to save you. You know what He's going to do? He's going to save you.
Amen.
Because He said He would, and He can't lie. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to feel real good.
Amen.
And then you're going to become a follower of God. Let's stand. Father, thank You today. Thank You, thank You, thank You.